at the very beginning of Nancy Baker's funeral on Thursday, a song was played that caught my attention. It was about a man who, after reading his Bible, recognized that there was more to living than just the events of this life. It was a good message. But there was one phrase, one line in the song that really caught my attention. I don't remember the exact words. I had never heard the song before. But nonetheless, it went something to the effect of, if anyone was worth or deserved getting into heaven, it was this man. And I said to myself, that's interesting. Who deserves to get into heaven? If our acceptance with God, our entrance into an eternal home in heaven, is based upon the goodness of a person, whether that be his intrinsic character or his accomplishments, his deeds in life, then how good does one need to be? How good is good enough? Well, according to the songwriter, this fellow apparently met it, but I don't know what the standards were. I think the songwriter didn't know himself, because he said, if anyone deserves. He didn't really have an assurance. And if our acceptance with God is an iffy situation, that makes us kind of miserable, doesn't it? What certainty is there in life? Can we be good enough? If so, what must we do? How often must we do it? With what quality must we do it? All kinds of questions come to pass. I would like to state to you this morning that in our study in Daniel chapter 6, as we move into the story of Daniel and the lion's den, none of us deserve an eternity with God. That doesn't stop God from giving it to us. If you will, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Just to recap the scenario real quickly, the political leaders had concocted a new law because they particularly didn't like Daniel. In fact, they hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. They were jealous of him. They wanted his position in government. And they brought this petition to the king that if anyone would ask anything of any god other than the king himself for a period of 30 days, that the man would be thrown into a den of lions. The king signed the thing. And as we looked at last week, it didn't stop Daniel from business as usual in praying to his God. Verse 11 is where we pick up the story this morning. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, say of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Now they knew the answer to that thing. In fact, everybody knew the answer to that question, as we read last week in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Well, this was not a question of whether the king did it or not. This was, hey king, you remember you wrote this thing. We want to make sure it's applied. The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before this king, that Daniel. Notice the vehement words. That Daniel. This guy's no good. King, he's got you schnookered. You think he is such a good person, but he is really evil. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. Oh, he looks good on the outside. But, king, don't you believe it. He regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Now, I pondered last week after this writing was signed. I am convinced that the very first day this law took effect, These men were under Daniel's window first thing in the morning, just waiting for him. And I guess they could have, after the first time that he normally went to prayer, go to the king and say, look, he violated already. But apparently, they stood there the whole day, not content with just Daniel violating this law one time, but they came back and said, look, he's done it three times. He really doesn't like you. He doesn't care for you at all. He has contempt for the law of the land. He's made his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. And notice the next two words. Not with Daniel, but with himself. Interesting. Why did I make such a law? Man, I blew it. Here is an indication that the king had a heart for Daniel. He cared for the man. He recognized that if anyone deserved a place in the kingdom, it was Daniel. Daniel was a good man. He had an excellent spirit, the scripture says. He was promoted by the king. He was favored by the king. He had a personality that was congenial. When they examined his vocational life, they found that he did nothing amiss. When they examined his moral life, they found that he was squeaky clean. He said, the only way we can get this man is in his relationship with God that might conflict with the state. And that's how they got him. This was a man, though, that deserved the best of the kingdom. And the king was displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The rest of the day he spent going through the law. How in the world can I get around the decree that I have made? I've got to throw Daniel into the lion's den. I don't want to do that. What is there? Where is a loophole here? Or where is there a loophole there that I can find of delivering this person? And he labored the whole day. He undoubtedly brought in all the legal experts. But they found none. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. King, you have an obligation. Fulfill it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. If you want to put something in your Bibles in parentheses, at the end there, put these words, I hope. It sounds like he really believes this in verse 16. But let me get a little jump on our message in 2 weeks. Next week is Mother's Day, so we'll take a break from Daniel for a week, but 2 weeks, verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion's? See, he really didn't have an absolute certain conviction that God would. He sure hoped that he would, but he didn't know that he would. Cheer up, Daniel. Your God will protect you, I hope. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel, I hate this with all my heart, but I got to do what I got to do. You're going in, buddy. And they put a stone over top of the lions, and actually it was something that you were carried down into. And they put a stone so that no one could come in and rescue you, or no way that you could climb out. It was a done deal. Now you say, what in the world does all this have to do with whether a person goes to heaven or not? Well, what I want you to do this morning with me for a few moments is to look at the law of Darius. There are a number of qualities, eight of them specifically here, that I want you to see about this, and then we'll make some interesting comparisons. Number one, the law had the authority of the king. Although it was concocted by these men who were jealous of Daniel, they actually wrote the words down on paper. They brought it to the king. The king signed it, and when he put his name upon it, it had the authority of the king. There was no higher authority to which to appeal. You couldn't say, well, I'm going to somebody else. Darius was the highest authority there was. And if Darius says this is what's going to be, that's what's going to be. No chance of getting out of it. Secondly, the law of Darius was intended for his own glory. When these men came, they said, we don't want anyone asking anything of any other god but you, because in your eyes, or in our eyes, you're God. You're the greatest that there is. Someday there will be a man named Muhammad Ali that will even quote you on that one. If people recognize just how great you are by not asking a petition of any other god, man, that's going to make you look good. And Darius said, you know what? That would be good. It'll bring peace and harmony to the kingdom if they recognize just how great I am. So he signed the law. Thirdly, as we've noted here a couple of times, it is the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. If the king is actually God-like, then whatever the king says has to be right. If it's right, then there's no need to change it, because if you change something that's right, it becomes wrong. So the law of the Medes of the Persians didn't change because the king who enacted them was always right. Fourthly, it was a rule for all the people of the kingdom. Notice again in verse 12, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god, so on and so forth. Everyone in the kingdom this pertains to. It's not for a particular class of people. It's not for a people in a particular geographic location. It's not for people of a certain age group. It was for everybody. Man, woman, child, doesn't matter. Fifthly, violation of it meant certain death. That any man asking a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of, not putty cats, lions. Ferocious lions, man-eating lions, hungry lions. Now, I quipped a couple of weeks ago that I think possibly by the end of the night, Daniel was sitting there saying, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he could have. Do you know why? Not to ruin the thunder that I have for 2 weeks from now, but it says that an angel of God came down and closed the mouths of the lions. They couldn't bite him if they wanted to. But for any other person, apart from the angel of God coming down, those mouths would have been going a mile a minute. And it would have been quick work. In fact, as we get into the message, you know what? You needn't come 2 weeks from now. I'm going to get it all done here today. Those who had brought this accusation against Daniel, verse 24, they were cast into this pit, and the lions took care of them right away, before they even hit the bottom of the den. It was certain death. Number next, there was no provision in the law to save the offender, the violator. The law didn't say, well, if you do this, here's how you can get out of it. In fact, the king was looking for ways to get around the law. All afternoon, he searched and searched and searched and couldn't find any provision to save. The law simply condemned. And that's it. The law was broken by Daniel. Now that's kind of obvious, but it's also kind of important. As good as Daniel was, he broke the law. He had a number of things to commend him to God. Well, you know, I've got an excellent spirit. I've given my life to serving the king, to protecting my people, to serving God. And he was a good man. I don't do this. I don't do that. I always pray. Wonderful person. If anyone deserved, it was Daniel. But just one thing. He broke the law. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Finally, this brought Darius into a conflict. On one hand was his love and mercy. He cared for Daniel. He wanted to show mercy to Daniel. He wanted to protect Daniel, to save Daniel. But his holiness or his righteousness, I've made a law. The law is right. It can't be changed. And justice must be done. And the two are conflicting with each other. How do I save a person that I care for? How do I extend mercy? But when the law says you've got to enact justice, you've got to enact justice. And I think his heart was breaking. Now I want you to compare this with the law of God. And you say, which law? Take any of them. You can take the law that was given to Adam and Eve in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply, a positive command. Thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a negative command. There's a couple of commandments. You can take the law of Moses that was given to the nation of Israel. You can take the law of Christ that is given to the church. It really doesn't matter which law you take. They all have similar characteristics. Number one, they have the authority of the King of Kings, of God Himself. And by the way, no higher authority. God, I don't care what you say. Well, who are you going to appeal to that can overrule God? Well, unfortunately, in the minds of most people today, they are greater than God. In fact, they've become their own gods. Seems to me Satan said something about that in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? And people today are still buying it. Nonetheless, there's no greater authority. The law, all of them were given for God's glory. They are attributes of God's righteousness, of God's holiness. They are expressions of how to live to glorify Him. Now, in living those things, man profits. But ultimately, all of God's laws are for His own glory. In that He is God, and all of them are righteous, they cannot be altered. God doesn't wake up one day, symbolically, and say, you know what, I have a better idea. He's never had a better idea because His first idea was perfect. It's impossible for Him to have a better one. Therefore, the law is unalterable. It is the rule of all people at all places. You go back to the Garden of Eden, there were only two. They stand as representatives of all of us, and they broke the law. And that law was given to all of us. The law that was given to Moses was for the whole nation of Israel. The law that's given to the church is for the whole church. No exceptions. Violation means certain death. Genesis chapter 2, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt possibly die. Glenn shaking his head, no. Thou shalt surely die. No getting around it. The wages of sin might be death, is death. In the law, there is no provision to save. If you break the law, you've broken the law. The wages of sin is death. Not the wages of sin is, we'll do this, 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 and this, and you'll get out of it. It's death. The law has been broken by all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one of us who has not violated the law. And this law brings God into conflict with His love and mercy and His holiness and justice. God is love, people will say, and therefore He will never send anyone to hell. Well, God is love, 1 John 4:8. But God is also holy. God is also just. And the same sentence could be made the opposite direction of Since God is holy, God will not save anybody. And once again, we have a conflict. Now, here's a contrast. Darius went away and did nothing. Daniel, buddy, sorry about this, but I got to do what I got to do. Hopefully your God will save you, but I can't. And I won't. Put the stone over the den. Seal it that no one gets in. And I'm going home. And he did. Most of you know the contrast. But God. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Whenever you reach the most depressing points of Scripture, generally you will find these two words, but God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, you hath he given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sin. All right, who's that speaking of? All have sinned, that's all of us. Wages of sin is death, that's all of us. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The wrath of the King of Kings. Why? Because here was a commandment that was given to us that had the authority of God, no higher authority, that was unalterable, that was the rule of all of us, that was given for His glory, and we broke it. All of us have broken it. And violation means certain death. We became children of wrath, just like everybody else. It doesn't matter how many times the law was broken. It doesn't matter how great the sin was, whether they're big sins or little sins. The law is the law, and it was broken. But God. Aren't you glad those two words are there? Who is rich in mercy. For His great love. And see, here's that mercy and love coming in conflict with His holiness and justice. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Imagine, if you will, Daniel in this pit, this den of lions, sealed with a stone at the top. There is no way of escape. He couldn't climb the walls and get out. He couldn't wrestle the lions. Yeah, the old circus thing where the lion tamer opens up the mouth of the lion and sticks his head in. If that had been Daniel, they would have called him Stumpy. It wouldn't work. There was nothing he could do to get out of death. But God. It says here that the angel of the Lord was sent to shut the lions' mouths. I would like to suggest to you that that angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Went down into the pit. David says in the Psalms, he has raised me from a horrible pit. Verse 6 here in Ephesians chapter 2 and says, has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. When the whole affair was over, Daniel was raised up out of the pit and sat with King Darius. Darius did nothing, but God sent his son. To suffer the penalty for us. So that by grace, unmerited favor, we can have eternal life through faith. Does anybody deserve heaven? Not a chance. But God is willing to provide it for all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. It is a gift of God. A gift must be received. As many as received him, that to them gave he power, literally authority, to be called the sons of God. If you've never received Christ Jesus as your Savior, and you're saying, well, I'm a good person, I haven't done this, and I haven't done this, and look at all the good things that I've done, not good enough, because you've broken the law. You need to trust Christ, who didn't break the law, and died in your place for you. Let's pray. Father, sometimes when we read accounts like Daniel and the lions, then we get all excited about the lions. And we forget what a great story it is of God's love for us. We get all excited about how Daniel was able to survive the night. And we don't realize what a picture it is of how we can survive time and enjoy eternity. Lord, maybe there's one in this assembly this morning, or maybe there's one listening by recording that needs to come to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior today. For all the years of their life, they've trusted in their own good works. Things that they've done or things that they haven't done or things that have been done to them, thinking that they can be good people. But just as we've seen here in this story, Daniel was a good person, but just not good enough. He broke the law. And may that one today realize they've broken the law too, and the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right now, if that person be here, if that person be somewhere listening at home, or wherever, with head bowed and eyes closed, may they ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior, trusting in the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of their sins. And might they be quickened together with Christ, raised up to sit in heavenly places in Him, to enjoy eternity in the very presence of God. Father, encourage our hearts with this message today. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.